Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
May the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Let the message of Christ find a home with you.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the day came for them to be purified as laid down by the Lord Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, observing what stands written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male must be consecrated to the Lord, and also to offer in sacrifice, in accordance with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now in Jerusalem there was a man named Simeon. He was an upright and devout man. He looked forward to Israel's comforting, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had set eyes on the Christ of the Lord. Prompted by the Spirit, he came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the law required, he took him into his arms and blessed God. And he said, "Now, Master, you can let your servant go in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the nations to see, a light to enlighten the pagans and the glory of your people Israel." As the child's father and mother stood there, wondering at the things that were said of him, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "You see this child, he is destined for the fall and for the rising of many in Israel, destined to be a sign that is rejected, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare." When they had done everything the law of the Lord required, they went back to Galilee, to their own town, Nazareth. Meanwhile, the child grew to maturity, and he was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're constantly hearing that the nuclear family is in great peril. I used to think nuclear meant dangerous. I still do, I think. The nuclear family means the family that sees, I suppose, its heart as the heart of the world, all its members. Like an atom. And we have traditionally upheld that family in the Christian tradition and found in the presence of Jesus in the human family, in the father-mother-child relationship, a consecration of it, a sanctification of it. Because a family is so near to the people who are the family, it's nearly the same thing. We almost apply to the concept of the family the same sanctified values that we apply to the persons who make it up. And the family can become a worshipped reality, a reality which takes the place of God. In Italy, there are families and families. There are families with fathers and there are families with godfathers. And if the mafia is modeled upon the family, it is a ghastly image of what any family might become, an omnivorous and violent truth, which kills instead of giving life, all under the banner of loyalty and love. So, It is good for us to look at the Gospel today and find out what the family of Jesus really was like. Because the upholding of the holy picture of the Holy Family, that peaceful and contented reality which is celebrated in some of the Christmas carols about the child Jesus loving and watching the lowly maiden in whose tender arms he lay, and mild, obedient, good as he, Christian children all must be. The facile rhymes themselves begin to make us suspicious about the values. And indeed, Jesus doesn't appear to have been quite like that. His coming into the world was not a peaceful reality. Planned for before the ages, there is about the Christmas story something of a breakneck, ham-fisted reality. It is a family caught up in the doings of an empire which cruelly tears people away from their homes and sends them across country. Although it is the Emperor of Rome who sends the Messiah to Bethlehem to be born. Yet in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is running before Herod into exile, at the mercy of the unjust world from the beginning. And in today's Gospel, we find Simeon appearing at that moment when, in accordance with the law of the Lord, observing what stands written in the law of the Lord, they do for Jesus in the temple what the law of the Lord requires. And then this storm crow figure of Simeon appears and says, "This child is set for the rising and the fall of many in Israel. He is going to be a sign that is rejected, and a sword will pierce your soul too." The Gospel carries on the theme. They take him to the temple to mark his entrance into teenage, and he celebrates the occasion by absconding from their care and disappearing to start a career among the theologians. 3 days later they find him. "Why have you done this to us?" they say. Not for the first time, I suspect. "Why have you done this to us? See how anxious your father and I have been searching for you." "Why were you looking for me?" he replied. "Did you not realize that I must be busy with my father's affairs?" They didn't know what he meant, as well they might not. And they didn't know what he meant later on either. When they heard that he was gathering huge crowds and holding public meetings and not even able to have time for a meal, they set out to take charge of him, convinced that he was out of his mind. When they get there, he uses the crowds against them. They have to pass in a note saying, "Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." And he sends a note back saying, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" "Anyone who sits in here and listens to the word of God is my mother, brother and sister." It's terrible language. It doesn't speak of sympathy and everyone advancing together. It doesn't speak of that holy harmony. When Jesus comes home and preaches in his own synagogue, he's nearly lynched. They take him up to the brow of their town, of the hill the town was built on, to throw him over. And Jesus says, "A prophet is never accepted in his own country, in his own, among his own people, and in his own home." And he could work no miracles there. He was astounded at their lack of faith. And he went through his life speaking about the family as something which is the site of great suffering. "Do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? No, not peace, I say, but a sword. From now on, a household will be divided against itself.
Father against son, son against father, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. Of those who ask where he lives, he says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To those who say, let me go home and say goodbye to my parents first, he says, no one who looks back is worthy of the kingdom of God. Of one who says, I must go and hold my father's funeral, he says, leave the dead to bury their dead. Your task is with the kingdom of God. And he says, anyone who comes to me without hating father and mother and brother and sister at home is not worthy of me. You cannot be my disciple unless you give up all your possessions. And having included those sacred relationships among your possessions, we have something here of a mystery, a hard saying. The family, of course, comes back. The family is a new family. Those who hear the word of God are the family. And Mary herself is one who hears the word of God and ponders it in her heart. And so she becomes a disciple of her own son and enters into that family relationship. And we must look to do the same. We must make our families staging posts on the way to the creation of the great family, whose laws are against the world's laws. We sometimes feel that our world is not helpful to families, that this country in particular is not helpful to families. The divorce rate is soaring. People are leaving home and running away, breaking their family loyalties. In America, people are divorcing themselves from their parents. Extraordinary symbol. I don't say that any of these things have any holiness in them. They represent the unredeemed suffering of a world that is trying, perhaps, for the wrong things. But in the Gospel, we find a call to belong to a family built on new lines. As he hangs on the cross, this convict son of the Holy Family, in his last breaths, is trying to build a new family. He sees his mother and the disciple that he loved standing near the cross, and he says to his mother, this is your son, and to the disciple, this is your mother. And from that moment, he took her into his home. And there is the new family. Family which is built on discipleship. And we know that the family of disciples does the work of the Master and follows in his footsteps for the poor, the hungry, the lonely, the people who are not fit for a family, people who have lost their family. And we must never exalt our families over the tasks of this kingdom of God, over the tasks of the Christ, who was a sword piercing the soul of his mother and father, but who taught us the love which builds the kingdom. We believe in one God.